Hi, I'm Mary Harrell with Mater Dei Radio. Well, our good friend and Catholic Answers apologist Carlo Broussard is back again to take us through a quick lesson in apologetics. He's taking us step by step through how we can help other people open their hearts and their minds to God by helping them reason their way past lots of common objections to the faith. All of the material we'll cover today is available in Carlo's new book called Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Carlo, happy summer and welcome back.
Hey, happy summer to you, Mary, and thanks for having me.
So, Carlo, we're almost done working through part one of your book today, going through all the obstacles that block the way for something very basic. They block the way for truth. And we've got the fifth and the final one today. And man, it's a doozy. It's like the Mount Rainier of objections. It's such a big one. But it is this. How can I believe in religious truth when science is the only reliable source of truth? Carlo, how do we get past this?
Yeah, well, first, it's important to point out that this objection, although we're putting it in the Prepare the Way Truth section, it actually is a bit different than the previous ones, because in the previous segments, we were trying to establish that there is objective truth and removing obstacles for people who have a hard time assenting to that proposition. Now, we're encountering somebody who might say, okay, Carlo, I acknowledge that there is objective truth out there, but the only way by which we're going to come to know that objective truth is through science.
Gotcha.
Because science is the only source of real objective knowledge. Scientific knowledge is the only real form of knowledge. This is a worldview known as scientism, and it's sort of the building block, the foundation stone of the modern movement of the new atheists. Mm. So, for example, in a 2013 Cambridge Union Society debate with the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, popular atheist Richard Dawkins claimed that religion is a betrayal of the intellect. And he asserted that appealing to God in order to explain the universe is a phony substitute for an explanation and peddles false explanations where real explanations could have been offered. So for Dawkins, the real explanations are scientific explanations. So this is a major obstacle. So how do we begin to remove it? Well, what I point out in the book, Mary, is strategy one is that we need to show that scientism is self-refuting. Okay. And here's how we can do that. Let's take the belief of scientism itself, right? The belief of scientism says scientific knowledge is the only legitimate form of knowledge, right? Well, that statement itself is not scientific knowledge. There's no scientific test. There's no empirical way of observing the truth value of that belief itself. So think about this. If the belief of scientism itself is not the product of the methods of modern science, well, then it's not scientific knowledge.
That's right. You can't prove that in the lab, that science is the only way to know things.
Amen. Amen. It's a philosophical statement. Mm. You see, it's a metaphysical claim. So if it's not the product of scientific inquiry, modern scientific inquiry, well, then it's not scientific knowledge in the modern sense. And if it's not scientific knowledge in the modern sense, well, then according to the principle of scientism itself, it's not real knowledge. So scientism, in as much as an atheist asserts this belief of scientism, in the very act of asserting it, he undermines it. It's a performative self-contradiction. The belief itself doesn't stand up, doesn't pass its own test. And so we see how it's self-refuting in that way. And then it's self-refuting in another way as well, if you're interested in hearing about that.
Oh, of course. You tell.
Think about this. Okay. Scientism actually undermines science itself as a rational form of inquiry. So the idea is this. If you're going to embrace scientism, if you're going to say, well, science is the only source of obtaining objective truth, right? Well, then you're going to have to deny this scientific enterprise itself. And here's the reason why. And I point this out in the book. Science itself presupposes various assumptions that we have to make in order to even begin doing science. So, for example, Mary, if we're going to do some sort of scientific experiment, right, we got this scientific, we're going to employ the scientific method, we observe phenomena, we got a hypothesis, we need to test that hypothesis, we look for empirical data to verify the hypothesis. Okay. Well, in order to even do all that, we have to assume, Mary, that there's actually a world outside of my mind and that we're not being deceived by the malignant evil being of Descartes, right?
Right. Okay. Back in the other objection we covered. Absolutely.
That's right. So we have to assume that external world exists. We have to assume that there's cause and effect patterns and causal regularities out there. And we also have to assume, Mary, that our intellect is actually capable of knowing, grasping, coming to know those causal regularities out there in the world. Now, here's where the rubber hits the road. All of these assumptions, or should I say, none of these assumptions are the product of the scientific method. None of these assumptions are scientific knowledge. They're all philosophical presuppositions. So if these assumptions that are necessary in order to do science are not scientific knowledge, well, then according to scientism, it's not real knowledge.
That's not right.
And if the presuppositions of the scientific enterprise itself are not real knowledge, well, then science itself would not be a form of real knowledge.
So this is kind of like pulling the rug out from under this right at the very beginning.
Amen. For all the rock and roll fans out there listening, the magic carpet that the atheist is asking us to stand on, he's pulling it out from underneath our feet. We can't even ride on it, you see?
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, so that's how scientism is self-refuting. Now, there's another strategy that I employ in the book, and that is to show how scientism confuses what we call methodology with ontology.
Ooh, now, this is the plastic cup example, right? I understand
amen,
this one.
Amen,
like
that's
it.
Right. Yeah, okay. That's just some highfalutin philosophical language for the method. The atheist and scientism is confusing the method by which we come to know about things and the reality of things, right? So methodology, ontology. And the reason why I bring this out is because, you see, what's driving scientism, Mary, is this idea that, well, if science can't detect it, well, then it's not real, you see? That's the underlying assumption. And from that, an atheist will conclude, well, if science can't detect it, it's not real. And so whatever science gives us, that's the only real form of knowledge because it's only giving us what's really existing, right? So we have to be able to critique this underlying assumption, the idea that what science can't detect is not real. Well, that's as absurd as saying because the metal detector can't detect plastic cups on the beach, it necessarily follows that plastic cups don't exist on the beach. Right?
Which they're there. And my kids' shoes that we lost last summer, those are there too. There's lots on the beach that the metal detector is never going to pick up that I've lost.
That's right. And the fact that the metal detector can't detect those things beyond the boundaries of metal, right?
Right.
It's because the instrument itself is restricted to a particular data source, namely metal. Mm-hmm. So just because it can't detect something that goes beyond its boundaries, its detecting powers, right, of what it can detect, it doesn't follow that those things don't exist. It's simply a manifestation of the limitations of the detecting powers of the instrument.
Right. That's really
similarly, just because science can't detect God, the human soul, angels, it doesn't follow from that those sorts of entities don't exist, because those sorts of entities, if they do exist by virtue of their definition and what they are, they're beyond the boundaries of physical reality. Therefore, they're beyond the detecting powers of science itself. So it's actually a moot question. You're actually getting off on the wrong foot. It's an absurd question to ask, well, can science detect God? Well, that just betrays a lack of understanding of the object you're looking for and the limitations of the detecting powers of the instrument you're using. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get another tool out the tool shed, and that is philosophy.
Aha, there it is.
So scientism confuses methodology with ontology. Well, here's where it just all comes crumbling down. If the first two strategies weren't enough, right?
Right.
Here's strategy three. And I actually have a fourth strategy in there, but I don't think we'll have have time for it in this segment. And that is to say that science does give some evidence that gives credence to theism as opposed to atheism. But I'll leave that for your listeners to go and read. But in strategy three, Mary, I point out we have to show how scientism ultimately undermines the reality of the human mind itself, right? Because think about this. If science is restricted to detecting only physical reality, and atheists are concluding from that, that whatever science can't detect, well, then those things aren't real, right?
Right.
Well, guess what? Whenever you philosophically analyze the operation of the human mind, of the intellect, the intellectual power that we have as human beings to abstract forms or essences from the thing. You know, I see that dog Fido, I abstract the form of Fido, I know of dogness, and I go to another dog Rover and I say, that's a dog. And I go to this tree and I abstract treeness, and I go to another tree and say, that's a tree, right?
Right.
And then I begin reasoning. Socrates, all men are mortal. Socrates is a man. Socrates is therefore mortal.
Right.
All of these intellectual operations, Mary, guess what? Are immaterial.
Yeah.
They're beyond the boundaries of physical reality. So watch this. If scientism says whatever science can't detect, well, then that thing doesn't exist. Well, guess what? Science can't detect the human mind. And if science can't detect the human mind, according to scientism, the human mind must not be real. And if the human mind must not be real, well, then guess what? You have no place in arguing for scientism.
That's right. Oh, that burns. That's a good one. It's really good.
So the argument for scientism actually comes tumbling down because, according to scientism, the very power you're using to make the argument is non-existent.
Wow.
It's not real.
Wow. Carl, look, I mean, those are fantastic. Those are such real tools to take down this objection. Those are so great.
That's right. And it is, and this is huge, Mary, because think about this. The only way to arrive at knowledge of God's existence by the natural light of human reason is through philosophy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the person I'm evangelizing is stuck on or hung up on scientific knowledge as the only real form of knowledge, well, then guess what? They're not going to be willing to pay attention to the philosophy.
Mm.
They're going to dismiss the philosophy. So if they're restricting themselves in this little square box of scientific knowledge alone, and the only way to get to God is through philosophical knowledge,
mm-hmm.
well, then they're never going to get to God. So we have to first remove this mountain of scientism in order that they can be properly disposed to even begin using the tool of philosophy in order to inquire about God's existence.
Well, and Carlo, it seems like sometimes these objections, like, they butt up against each other. And you have people that say, well, yeah, scientism, I don't believe in God because I believe, you know, we can only believe what's proven through science. But then you take and apply that to a moral issue. You know, you have some people that say, well,
that's
you
right.
know, abortion, a baby, that's not a baby because the science isn't settled on when it becomes a human life. And you want to say, the science is, you know, you become the scientist at times. You want to
that's
say,
right.
I am using the science here and you're rejecting my use of what you profess to believe more than religion. And it's difficult sometimes to get past those objections, but it's so worth doing it because, man, at the heart of that lies the truth of who we are and whose we are, right?
Amen to that, Mary.
Carlo, tell our listeners where they can go to find your book and read more.
They can go to shop.catholic.com and they can follow my work at carlobroussard.com.
Awesome. All right. Class is dismissed again. Thanks, Carlo. We'll have you back again.
All right. Thank you, Mary. God bless you.